Okay. This is about a discussion item on my school board, discussion board. It's a business ethics class, and we're talking about a method called comply or else. It's comply with these rules or else there's a consequence. You get a warning and the second warning, this and that and whatever, or you're sanctioned. The whole corporation is sanctioned. They have to pay money and change their behavior and follow the law or else. And that's how we operate. That's how law and order operates. You follow this or else there's a consequence. You go to work 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, or you lose a day of pay. And if you continue on that behavior, then you'll be fired. That's just standard hourly wage type working. Or if you don't follow this rule in the company, you're tracked. And if you continue to make mistakes after you've been told, then you will be fired. And then ultimately you pass the dysfunction on to another company. And the other company, you know, settles for that kind of employee and hires them. So really, we're just passing the garbage and dysfunction on to other companies. And that's sort of like a virus, the way the virus travels. So a company may and probably should be responsible to fix that employee's defiance and inability to follow the rules. Right? So the question is, the comply or else method is restrictive in a sense that action must be taken when it may be ethically compromising or against someone's will to comply. So an employee, if it's against their will, they're not going to do it. They don't care. They don't care if they get fired, because if they get fired, they get to apply for unemployment. And maybe for that level of a worker, they're up for the compromise and lowering in pay and are better managed by a government program with less pay. And the company ultimately suffers because they have to pay into that fund. So they're still paying for that employee dysfunction. So he says, he refers to the rapidly increase, this issue is rapidly increasing with millennials, the comply or else method, with millennials entering the workforce. And he asks, why do I think this is so? First of all, I don't like the term millennials, because what you're doing there is you're doing another naming convention like baby boomers, the older generations, or, you know, segmenting and grouping individuals, naming them. And that's not fair, first of all. That's not fair. It's creating an assumption that this new generation is going to be technologically advanced, which is true. Because of the internet, they have everything at their fingertips to be successful. But still, we're operating in a very unsafe and disorganized world. So my response to this is, I think it's because there is an era of dysfunctional graduates and students that refuse to continue following bad leadership. The revolt or non-compliance exists because of political leadership and an inability to change conditions. So even though we have a new president that might lead differently, campaigns of segregated complaints and demands drove social media for a while, like Black Lives Matter, and continuing on this path of civil rights, segregation, and now you're sort of doing the same thing with millennials, putting them into a category of, if they were born after a certain date, then they are expected to be technologically advanced. The only thing it means is you're born after a certain date and you have access to computers that maybe a younger generation did not have. But to push onto the world this comply or else method is just wrong, because you're already starting out the gate that we're going to force organizational behavior and using an ultimatum. You either do this or else, which is a bad way to introduce a person to business. It's a really bad way. And kids, young work people should already know that there are rules to life and rules to working. You either go to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you punch your time card or use your computer system to log in and log out your hours. And if you don't meet the boss's requirements, then you're fired. But don't wait in line for unemployment. Just comply. Just do what's being asked of you or go find another job. Forcing people to not want to cooperate or even continue old ways of what was considered change and growth. Millennials might not even want to be called millennials. And by doing so, society is creating another named generation based on assumptions that they are technically advanced with everything at their fingertips to be successful. And that is partially true. That means they can log in and do their time clock. That means they can take a phone call. That means they can type into a database. And that means that they could be an advanced workforce. But the comply or else, I don't know that that's useful in a brand new generation of workers. People still have to be cautioned when browsing and searching online. There's rules. Follow the rules. And if you don't, then you might or you might not encounter difficulty. I don't know. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what you're looking for. I can tell you what to look for and what to stay away from. But there's so many things in life that are dangerous. Don't go jump off of a bridge when the water is half deep. Wear shoes with good rubber soles on the bottom of them when you go hiking. I can't give you every possibility in the world that can go wrong. And neither can we with every rule in business that says comply or else. But you have a general understanding of what is acceptable in business and what's not. Comply or else needs to be explained and understood. It's an ultimatum. And operating on principles of ultimatums without spoken or written understanding of the situation, background, and compliance makes those words useless. If I'm a new person at a new company and the rule is to log in all of your hours and your accomplishments and your calls for that day, if I work at a call center or a sales shop to mark and record all of my sales for the day in numbers in a computer system. And if I fail to do that properly, it's my manager's responsibility to show me where I went wrong and to teach me the correct way. And if you have a manager that comes up at you already and says, you better comply with this or else, it's a bad management system. You can't work with that kind of leadership. It's better to learn and teach rather than to be seriously forceful in the way that you lead people. I mean, some people think they can program the world on a computer system, forcing people to do things using a personal computer. And it might work for a little while. It might actually work. And people will follow if they like it, they agree with it. And some will completely mentally tune out and just do it for the money. You know, sell this insurance product to this lower class of citizens and charge them extra amount of money because they broke the law, giving them double jeopardy. And you're going to profit big. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to fluctuate your earnings based upon those sales. An ethics test right there. I wouldn't be able to make 100% commission or take a huge commission off of that person because I know they're less fortunate. But yet I could be mentally conditioned in growing my own bank account and disregarding their financial condition in order to make myself more successful. And putting people in those situations is ethically wrong. It's ethically wrong. That person has already paid for their crime. You're forcing them to pay twice. And that's inappropriate. And now you're putting the salesperson into an ethical position to evaluate that and either abandon their responsibility to the people for self-service and self-success, or for both people to remain lower in poverty. And what you're doing is you're creating a monetary race of those who have broke the law against those who haven't, so that the money bags can go to the ones that haven't broken the law, when it's just a ridiculous bad model of sales, which is based upon a bad law. So you have to go back to the law and say, this is what's wrong. You're preying on the less fortunate. And you're allowing this in this insurance organization or this sales organization or some other organization. And it's the same, it goes back to the same idea of the wealthy. Why should we pay for the less fortunate? You're not our responsibility. We grew up wealthy and we were good law-abiding citizens. And the only problem is you took no social responsibility for what was around you. You were raised in this beautiful house where you didn't realize that people actually starve, and women have to go sell their bodies to men in order to be safe and fed and clothed and treated properly. And that's not always even a guarantee, because the way that the world was designed. And again, the wealthy says, why is that my responsibility or problem? My parents did fine. Look at me. It's called social responsibility and ethics. If you're going to sell or work in the United States and serve the United States, or be a citizen of the United States, you have a responsibility beyond yourself to others. It doesn't mean you have to fork out half of your paycheck to feed them, but it means you need to be socially conscious of what's going on in the world, in the balance of power, poverty, wealth, money, and the leveling out of the problem, the fixing of the problem, so that the high class doesn't race with the low class, or that they can intermingle and help bring the lower class up to a mid-level class. But they need incentive as well, because it is uncomfortable for the wealthy to sit next to the impoverished, because they want to maintain on their wealth track. They don't want to be surrounded. They don't want to get their suits dirty and their hands dirty. And they really don't want to see what's going on, because they want to just believe that the world is a clean and beautiful place. And it's not. Even though they go to work every day for 8 hours and they're clean and they're surrounded by beautiful things, the world is not a clean and beautiful place. Some places are, but it's a goal to strive for, but it's not a personal goal. It's a personal goal at the start, but then you're responsible for other people. And that's when you become a manager and a leader, when you can lead and transform other people and teach them real life skills and good behavior and what is asked for, not demanded and forcefully pushed onto them. Like, you're going to follow this religion no matter what you say, and I'm going to make your little rich girl flash all her diamonds, jewelry, and brand name clothing around that little impoverished girl, and you're not going to feed that girl because we're against poverty or what her parents do. I mean, you're already misled and misleading if that's your behavior. I mean, people did that. People did that back in the, and they still do that. They drive around in their BMWs and they'll wave, you know, but they don't, most likely don't donate. They most likely don't recycle their clothing and give them to students at schools or colleges. They most likely don't think about Rather than spending $4,000 on the Armani suit, I'm going to spend $400 and I'm going to give $1,000 to a charitable organization. Or I'm going to build a company and force my company to give 30% of their charitable to a charitable organization or a specific organization to solve this other problem, which is important for the growth of Americans or for the growth of the world, to get out of this cycle of status symbols, low class, middle class, and upper class, racial tensions, and all these other problems. But you look at things on a whole. People can have houses and cars and business suits and have all the things in the world and still be utter assholes in their behavior, breaking the law and mistreating people. So it's not about your things in your bank accounts. It's how you behave and treat others and what skills, knowledge, and abilities and behaviors and changes that are positive, and we'll call them positive forces, that you can bring to the world to make it better. And if you're faced with defiance, that's when you have to use your system of consequence, not a system of ultimatum. Do it or get out. Sometimes it reaches that point because that person is unchangeable and uncooperative. But again, you pass that problem on to someone else. But it's best just to step back and see, I gave my personal best and I invested what I could as a person, as a manager, and as a leader. And I did everything I could possibly do to fix it. And I was unsuccessful because he or she or they would not cooperate. They were unable to see the error of their ways. So that is not my fault. So I can walk away going, I did the best I could do. They're just uncooperative and a lower class citizen than what is expected of good, strong, ethical, and moral leaders. There was a time that I lived immorally. You know, I didn't care. I'd go online. I was single, so I'd go to parties. I'd date men, several of them. Not too many at a time, because that's just, I can't do that. It's immorally wrong for me. I established that a long time ago. And every time I did, I felt terrible. It didn't often affect my work performance, but it affected me as a woman. And so growing up, they put all that behind you, and these are my boundaries. And that's what a man and a married man and woman do. So those are personal relations of morals, but also in business and decision making, you take that parental and ethical understanding and personal boundaries that you have set for yourself and your family, and you instill those values in your employees. You are the leaders of those things. You're the ones that they use to see that marriage is a good thing. Faithfulness is a good thing. Loyalty is a good thing. Family success is a good thing. And therefore, you become models and figures that people want to follow and want to work with, because you're a pleasure to work with. And you're someone that that appears that is successful and that you can lead. And that's a leader. But if you become powerless and unable to fix the problems of your own employees, then management is not for you. Management is not for you. So now I'm an independent producer because I can't get down with bad executives. I can't get down with women who want to give their husbands and boyfriends ultimatums within the first 2 weeks of dating. I can't listen to constant marital conflict, world conflict, and problems of different races trying to come up and be equal or trying to defend their own dysfunction or trying to take over America with computers and bad sales or bad customer service representatives who might perform well in the job in the position of answering a phone call and entering in a few pieces of information, but don't know how to solve the underlying issue and the problems. It's just a creation of more garbage. So it creates a bad place for the individual who knows how to go in and fix it. Such a deep want and desire to know, where is this coming from? Who's hiring these people to stand in the way of good business? Who's causing all the problems? I don't know. But just to quickly answer the professor's question, don't start off with millennials and calling them that. They're employees. They're employees of newer generations. Hopefully not forced to pay for the garbage and the mistakes that we all made growing up, making decisions, and trying to be successful either in a man's world, a woman's liberated world, a sexually defiant and deficient world where homosexuality is welcome and celebrated, or parental neglect is acceptable, where you spend more time out at the bar than with your own children. You know, that's not ethical. That's not ethical. And then being a manager, leading these employees and not sitting down and understanding these problems is negligence. It's negligence to society and to that person. And that's a change that business would have to go through in order to be more successful and to be more environmentally conscious, because it is their social responsibility that who they pay and what those people do with their money is the direct contribution to society. And if it's funding homosexuality, if it's funding porn shops, if it's funding bad pollutive environments, like some might even consider this conversation being pollution, but it's leadership. And if you choose to go that route, hey, that's your route. But I disagree, and it's my right to refuse service and to not work with those kind of people. Do I have that ability, though? I don't hire people. And I can't fire a person just because they have a certain preference, but I can teach that person how to maintain boundaries and what's acceptable at work and what's acceptable after hours and where they might have gone wrong in the past. But it's not my job or responsibility to sell sex decisions to that person. That's his personal business, and that's who he is. And he shouldn't be pushed down and asked not to wear a dress to work if he wants to wear a dress to work. He should be evaluated based upon his performance at work, his professionalism, his personality, and his ability to get the job done and not create more dysfunction for everyone else.